know. And Genesis chapter 6, let's stand together as we read God's word. Genesis chapter 6, you shouldn't have a hard time finding it tonight. As you're turning there, I do want to tell you that next Wednesday, we're going to begin a new series on the Gospel of John. The series is going to be called Amazing Jesus. And I want you to make sure and not miss out. It's going to be a journey that I'm hope that will be a blessing to you. And I know it's going to be a real help. And I don't know about you, but I love reading the Gospels and studying the Gospels. And, it's about Him anyway. And so I hope you'll make sure and mark that and keep that in your prayers as we come together next Wednesday. I just need a little bit more prep time than I wanted to start it this week, but the Lord kind of moved me back a little bit more time to get ready for this. So it's going to be an important series. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sounds sort of like Solano County. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within without pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Thank you, and you may be seated. There are presently in our world three geysers. The one geyser we have that we hear about often is the one that's out in Calistoga. It blows about every 30 minutes. There's the one that's also in Yellowstone Park. It erupts about every 90 minutes. It's been called Old Faithful. And you know, there's just something in my mind that's strengthening and comforting to know of things that are faithful. One of the things I do, and when we go back and my wife and I, we do this together. It's something that she enjoys and I enjoy. When we go back home, we do something that probably all of you would think is a little weird. We don't think it's weird. It's what we do is when we go back home, we go back down the same roads where we grew up. We kind of reminisce in our minds. So I'll go and I'll go up in the old trailer parks where I used to live when I was a little boy. And I'll go down the dirt road where there was a greenhouse that I used to live in. And you know, in my mind's eye as a little boy, I remember that house being much bigger than it really is. It's nothing more than a little just a little small house, but you know, in my mind it was a big house. And then we go to my wife's place and we'll drive down the roads where she grew up. In fact, her dad was born right across the street from the house. My wife has never moved until she married me. She lived and grew up in the same house. She wasn't born in the same house, but she grew up in the same house, never moved until she married me. Now, we made up for it in those days. We first got married, we moved around a lot. But she likes to reminisce, too, and we'll drive down. She'll tell me about how that that in South Carolina, they had kind of an odd thing. In South Carolina, teenagers in those days were allowed to drive school buses. So we drive down. She tell me about the school bus accident that occurred where, you know, her who is now her brother-in-law, at that time wasn't her brother-in-law, who was driving the school bus and went around a curve and you know, this, that, and the other. And so remnant. But something about it is comforting to her because everything is still the same. Maybe the oak trees have gotten a little bigger. The barn maybe have gotten a little rustier. But it's still the same. There's something comforting about the same. I like that. I don't know about you, but I do. I like the same things. Maybe I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, but I like just keeping the consistency in things. I'm glad coffee tastes the same all the time. Chocolate's the same, amen? And all the other things, there's just a consistency. There's something about it. You know, the Bible said that God is faithful. I love that. God is concerned about faithful, consistent. That's what he likes. He likes it because he is faithful. The Bible makes it clear. He says, I am God, I change not. Now, to imply a change would mean that God would have to be either better or worse. That's what change is. But when you're perfect, there's no need to change. So God is ever faithful. And I read in the account where all throughout Scripture where God speaks of faithfulness. For example, in Deuteronomy, he says this. He says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy to them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Psalm 101 verse 6 says, mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Proverbs 25 verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I love that verse. Anyone ever had a broken tooth before? I don't think you can eat an ear of corn on a broken tooth, all right? Or bite into an apple. You ever had a bum knee? You know you certainly can't stand on a bum knee. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Luke 16 verse 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So what is God saying about faithfulness? And what does that have to do with Noah? If there's any man that we read about in the Bible that was faithful, we all have to understand Noah was that man. He was faithful. Society was changing. It became a violent society. It became a society that was, the Bible says it was marriage and given in marriage. In other words, they really had a low opinion of marriage and of how people coming together and being, and following God's pattern. The morality was low. It was worthless. There was no visibility of God in anyone's life except Noah and his family. Yet Noah did not let that be the determining factor whether he served God or not. There's a lot of people, they'll serve God as long as everybody else does. There's some people who come to church as long as everybody else does. There's some people who go soul winning as long as everybody else does. But what about when they don't go? What about when they don't read their Bible? What about when they don't follow God? What about when they don't care about the things of God? See, God's looking for some faithful people. I want to preach tonight on the subject, characteristics of a faithful family. Because Noah was what he was, and I really believe because he was a man that had a faithful family. And I believe the reason why he's a faithful family was because he was faithful. See, I'm convinced of this. I read this, and I don't know if it's true or not, and maybe the statistics are wrong. Maybe I just read a wrong kind of statistics, but I read the statistics that said something like this, that children go to church, and children go to church, and if they are raised in church, they'll probably stay in church for a while. You know, statistics are pretty high on that. But then I read about if a mother and a child go to church, only about 67% success rate, well, they remain in church. But if you have the dad and the mom go, it's like it goes up to like 93%. I read an alarming thing recently, and you know, I don't want to get on to you tonight. I'll wait till next week, all right? But I did read about how many teenagers have dropped out of church once they got out of the home. Graduated from high school, got out on their own. And the statistics was really, really alarming because here's what it was. It said that the family where they were involved in the ministry of the church, where they served in the ministry of the church, where they were faithful in church, teenagers, when they become adults, stayed in church. But where the family, primarily they were pinpointing the dad, where the dad did not go to church faithfully, where he did not serve the Lord faithfully, where he missed church a lot, those children, when they become adults, quit going to church altogether. That's an alarming statistic. You think about that. Faithfulness. You know, we need some men that'll be faithful to God. I mean, honestly, guys, we need to be faithful to God. I mean, faithful. Because Noah, you think about it. Just put yourself in light of what this is all about. And I haven't even got to the message yet. We may have to put that off 2 weeks. I may have to make this two-parter. But here's the truth. When Noah said, all right, we're all going to get on this big boat that I just built, this big ark I just built. We're going to get on with all the animals. And the family had to look at him and say, you're kidding me, aren't you? That would be a pretty amazing thing to think about. But I don't find that in Scripture. They got on. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the family had confidence in Dad. Because he was faithful. Faithful. So if we're going to talk tonight about the characteristics of what it means to be faithful, I want to give them to you. I want you to understand them. Because of that, if we're going to be faithful, that means it's not just something that we have in the head. It's that which is in the heart. It's that which we cling on to. Write this one down. I don't have any notes in there. I just kind of have a blank sheet there. So, but write this point. Point number one. Families who are faithful. And if you say, well, I'm just one. That's all. I don't have families. I am the family. Well, that's fine. Put your name there. Number one, they put God first. You put God first. There's no doubt in my mind that the reason why that my wife and I are here is because we chose, back before we got married, we said, you know, we're going to serve God wherever God takes us. We were planning on going to the mission field, and we actually thought about Africa. We thought about South America. I mean, we were looking at India as another possibility. Those are areas that we were pinpointing that God might send us, and we were praying about that. We said, wherever God sends us, we're willing to do what God wants us to do. That was our commitment before we got married. And when we got married, we praise the Lord that God spoke to us and led us together. And us being in California, that wasn't in the mix. I don't know how that happened. But God brought us here. And people have asked me, well, why would you in the world would you ever want to live in California? Because God told us he wants us to live in California. We put God first. We chose to do that. Now, we could have put other things first. We could have put family first. We could have put, you know, the fact is that hey, we're only going to stay on the east side of Mississippi. We could have done that, but we just believe that God wants us to come here. And I'm not trying to put us up by any means, because that's not really the case. You know, I appreciate Zeb and his wife Leah here tonight. Zeb is from Alaska, and he's now assistant pastor here in California. I'm glad he came from Sarah Palin down to help support our state. Amen. God knows we need it. Amen. But here's my point. The point of the matter is putting God first wherever he leads you. Whatever God wants to do with your life. Noah, get on the ark. Okay. I'm sure Noah could have said, you know, I could think of better things to do. But that's what God wanted him to do. Now, if we're going to put God first, let me give you some areas we need to put God first in. Number one, we need to put God first in our eternal life. We are too short-sighted today. Many people don't realize, but eternity comes very quickly. Before you know it, you will be in eternity. I mean, it happens so quick. One man said this, the greatest truth that ever came to my life was that I realized that one day when I die, I'm going to spend eternity somewhere forever. You contemplate that thought. You're going to spend eternity somewhere forever. What about, what did you do for God while you're here? First choice, obviously, is salvation. The moment that I turned to Jesus Christ as Savior, that prepared my eternity. Thank God for that. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that once you call on the Lord, that God says that he saves you, that's instantaneous. And I'm thankful to God for that. You know, you can argue about politics or space exploration or sports or environmental issues, but the one fact remains is you cannot argue about death. We all have an appointment to die. Hebrews 9 says it like this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're all going to die. And one of the good things is that when you put God first, when death comes, man, it's comforting. As I met with the ladies and we were talking about Irene, again, I brought her up one more time because it's just a little fresh in my mind. Irene, one of the last things she told her daughters when she was conscious, the last thing she said was, I'm ready to see my Savior. Amen. Amen. I tell you, she put God first somewhere along the way in her life. She's ready. I wonder how many of us can say we're ready. Somebody say, well, man, I got to get some things cleaned up. I got to get my life cleaned up. I got to get some things straightened out. I don't know that I'm ready. Well, she was. I'm sure that Noah, if he got on the ark, and what would happen if Noah got on the ark and somehow or another he forgot to put the pitch on the bottom side and the ark sunk? Let me ask you a question. You think Noah's ready? I think so. I mean, if that boat would have gone down, everything would have drowned on that boat, Noah's still ready. You know why? Because he put God first. He just decided that God was important and that it did not matter, that I just want to do what God wants me to do. We ought to put God first in our daily life. That means in everything we do. Our values, what are we building our lives on today? What are you building your life on tonight? I mean, what about your life and what about the things that you're doing and where you're going with your life, and how can it be written in your history book of your life, in your bio? What about your children? What will they say about you and your grandchildren? You see, a faithful family will always put God first. There's no doubt about it. And I think married couples should make decisions together. This means there's discussion. We decide things together. We do things together. A person who is a faithful understands that God's house is a major player in their life, not just something they do when it's convenient. You know, a lot of people don't understand the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. I have a little hard time. I happen to like certain things. I like football a whole lot. Thank God for a few godly people in the church. Amen. And Sherry's back there. I know she likes football a whole lot. She's from Alabama. She has to. Amen. I think you're born with a football in your hand from Alabama, right? But the truth of the matter is that as we think about life, you know, there's things that when you look at, like, Sunday is football day, NASCAR day, or any of the rest, or God's day. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one's more important? What did we say? God. We're putting God first. Amen? Then pray tell me, why do Christians go out to NASCAR on Sundays? Why do they skip church to go do something else besides going to church? Because God's not first. Everything else is first. Well, I just didn't feel like it today. Do you think I feel like it every Sunday come rolling in here? No, but you see, that's what we're talking about. You think Noah felt like, yeah, we're going to get on this. Yeah, right. I'm not sure, but you know, I just know this. If in his heart he says, God, I'm committed, I'm, you know what, your first place, I'm going to get on the ark. Lord, I'm committed because come Sunday, I'm going to be in your house. Lord, I'm committed because come Monday, I'm going out soul winning. Lord, I'm committed because because come tomorrow morning, you're first in my life. Lord, I'm committed because when the offering plate comes around, you're first. You know, Uncle Sam, they always get their money, but God, this is a choice that you give me to make. You're first. I want you before Uncle Sam. That's putting God first. That's commitment. That's faithfulness. And it's not something that we do like, you know, a lot of people say, well, I did that 2 years ago on a Sunday in March. No, this is something we do week in and week out. Day in and day out. Because if you want your family to have the comfort and the security and the fact that they know that they're walking with God and that their lives are counting, it's when they see a family that's consistently faithful to God, it gives them great comfort. I was thinking about how many families over the years that I've seen just faithfully. When I was a first got saved as a teenager, there was a man in that church where I got saved that had been in that church for like 40 years. In fact, when I went off to college, he wrote me letters, told me he's praying for me. It's just something about it. And I would come home from college and I'd see him and I almost want to hug him. We just didn't do that, but I wanted to. Because, man, he's still there, serving God. I didn't wonder if maybe somehow or another he fell off the, fell out of church or maybe started following some other thing. No, I knew he was going to be there because he was faithful to God. Because God was first place in his life. Noah said, family, get on board. But Dad, no, but Dad, get on board. I don't really think it was, but Dad, I think it was, okay, that's what you say, that's what we did. Mrs. Noah got on board. That was a big deal right there. You ladies can say amen to that. Can you imagine your husband telling you to get on board? Pretty amazing. So if we're talking about the characteristics of a faithful family, number one is we said that a faithful family is one that puts God first. That's one that you know that they'll be in that pew come Sunday. We'll know they'll be there. But secondly, write this one down. They live by godly convictions. Live by godly convictions. You say, what do you mean by godly convictions? Well, I guess some of this can be almost woven together. But what it means is they establish God's or godly priorities in their life. And let me tell you what a priority is, okay? A priority is a predetermined decision. A predetermined decision. That's when I think of a conviction. I have a priority that God is the governing body. Can I give you one real quick? Are you guys with me? Amen. You guys awake out here? Amen. I know it's a busy week. We're all working and everything. I understand that. Okay? Here it is. Watch this. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's Psalm 101. Is that a good biblical passage? Amen. What does that mean? God says, I'll not put anything wicked before my eyes. Job says, I have made a covenant with mine eyes that I would not look upon a maid. In other words, the idea is I want to make sure that my eyes do not look upon wickedness or the things that I should not look upon. That's the principle. Is that not true, right? Amen. Biblical. Application. I won't have HBO in my home. Boy, it got real quiet. Maybe we need to go to your house and check your video collection out then. I will not have no wicked thing before mine eyes. Better yet, how about let me surf your history of your internet in the last 2 months? I will not have any wicked thing before mine eyes. Principle, godly conviction. Can I remind you of something? You don't have to find it. It's looking for you. I can't tell you how many times I've opened up my email and there would be something. And sometimes I get people because of, you know, working in community, people writing me, asking me for advice and things. And so there are some emails I open up. Sometimes they have to be strange. And I get things offered to me that I don't need to have offered to me. I delete it right away. I'm trying to figure out a way how to block that out. Mark, if you come up with something, help me out, man. I need that, okay? It's just because I don't need to have those images in my mind. Amen? Amen. That's the idea. Biblical convictions. How many agree with me? Every family needs to have some biblical convictions. Amen? Look, you need to have it. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You mess up. You want to find out? You mess up. Go ahead and put a television in your daughter or your son's bedroom. You put HBO, Cinemax, or Skin to the Max, whatever you want to call it. Sin to the Max. You go ahead and put all that junk in there. You put them in internet in there, and you let them have at it. They won't be in church, I guarantee you, before they graduate in high school. You're going to start having problems with them. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we're all sitting here saying, where did I go wrong? Feed them everything and let them have the world, and now we know what's going on. Look, I refuse to put television in my kids' rooms. And I fought that battle. I refuse to let them have internet in their rooms. I fought that battle. But I'm going to tell you, it's a battle worth fighting. Because here's the idea. The idea is that, man, we have to have some convictions. I mean real convictions. You know, and I don't care what AT&T says. I think you ought to read their texts. You know, I heard AT&T says, well, no one has a right to invade. Look, I pay the bill. I'm reading the text. They pay the bill. They can read the text. But I'm paying the bill. I'm reading them. Amen and amen. You say, preacher, you sound mean. No, I got some convictions, man. I tell you, I you know, our world is crumbling from the inside out, and unfortunately the church is falling apart, and people are trying to figure out what's wrong. I tell you what it is. Families don't have any convictions. We need to establish some godly convictions. What are your priorities for your family? Faithful families decide that they're going to do right till the stars fall. We're going to do right. I'm going to tell you something. It's not always easy to do right. Sometimes you're going to fight some big battles. But that's what God says. Some are pre-built convictions. We have some pre-built convictions. We're kind of used to that. We talk about priorities or pre-built convictions in our life. We know that. They're there. For example, my mom taught me this when I grew up. Maybe your parents did as well. I think it's a good thing. She taught me, when you eat, you brush your teeth. How many agree with me it's a good thing to brush your teeth? Amen? If you don't brush your teeth, you won't have any. Okay? So it's a good thing to brush your teeth. My mom taught me that. So we eat breakfast. Okay, now we go in and brush our teeth. Now, before you go out, you comb your hair. You wash the sleepy out of your eyes. Amen. You take a bath once a day. Or shower. Am I connecting? Everybody with me so far? Amen. Would you agree with me? Those are priorities and convictions we should have every day, right? Absolutely. They're there. I mean, it's a socially acceptable thing. That, man, I'm going to brush my teeth, and not just once a day, but at least every time I eat my meals, or at least twice a day at minimum, and floss, and I'm going to shave. I'm glad some of these guys are in here to shave, finally. Brother Shepherd actually shaved. I didn't know he could shave. He told us the other day that he replaces his razor every 4 months, whether he needs it or not. I wonder if he takes and sharpens it between the time. Either that or maybe the, you know, whatever. So I don't blame him. Those razor blades aren't cheap, man, I'll tell you. Can I borrow yours when you're done? So. But the truth of the matter is, you know, when we think about it, God is very clear that not only do we have social convictions, but we ought to have spiritual convictions. That's where I'm getting at. What do we do with our time? You see, when you have priorities, it's not that the world tells you what to do, it's God tells you what to do. That's what it means. And God says we need to establish godly practices in my life. I seek God's will every day. I read the scriptures. I meditate on what he says. I want to pray and talk to God. I ask God, how can I take what you tell me and put it in my life and live for you every day? That's what he means. Faithful families understand there are daily practices in my life that are critical. Write music. Write music. I didn't say rock. Write music. Right, music is necessary. Yes. You say, you know. Sometimes people say, you know, you're really bad on the teenagers with the rock music. No, I'm bad on the adults with the rock music. I'm tired of adults listening to rock music. Adults listen to rock music as bad as teenagers do. Sometimes adults are worse. I drove down the other day and I thought, now that's a grandmother, and she's bebopping around in a car. That would make some grandchild really happy. Look at my grandmother, man. She's really rocking out. No wonder we need revival in the homes. Amen. I don't know why I'm going this way. I'm just preaching tonight. I think we need to have some priorities and convictions. Let me give you the third one. If God's talking about faithfulness, God says, I want you to be faithful. You put God first. I want you to have some priorities in your life. And then thirdly, I want you to be true in your personal life. Two aspects. Number one, a daily accountability to God. One of the things I found about when I go through my day, I just know that tomorrow morning when I wake up, the first person I'm going to meet is the Lord. Anyone ever have this ever happen when you're a teenager? Your mom and dad, this happened to me one of my first times. You guys can kind of connect with this, I think. My mom says, all right, just want to let you know, we're leaving. You're going to be here by yourself. This is your first time. But we're coming back. Here's your list. And she had a list of things. Wash the dishes. Vacuum, dust, clean the mirrors. straighten up the stuff in your bedroom. And when we come back, you better have it done. You ever had anything like that happen? Those of you who didn't, I'm concerned about your homes right now. Okay? And I remember my mom left me, and I thought, you know, this is really cool. I'm by myself. There's nobody to boss me around. Nobody tell me what to do. I can sit in Dad's chair. I can go pull out a Coke. I can eat a bag of chips, and I can even throw it on the floor if I want to. I remember that the first time. So I got the bag of chips out, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to watch that football game, man, you know, and I'm going to kick back, and then all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, I got Mom coming. Mom and Dad are coming back. They're going to be here soon. I kept watching the clock, vacuuming, watching the clock, dusting, watching the clock, cleaning the mirrors, watching that clock, and I'm getting the dishes all washed. And about the time I get done, here comes Mom and Dad. Well, how's it going? Let me see what you did. Let's look at the list. You know what happened? Man, I was so busy doing everything, I didn't have time to throw the chips on the floor. I didn't have time to do any of that because I was busy. You know what the truth matter is? I was just busy doing what I was supposed to do, and just when my mom came back, man, all of a sudden it was like there's an accountability. And you know what I found? If I'm busy doing what God wants me to do, when I go to Him tomorrow morning and in my devotional time and I stand before Him, I'm going to say, God's going to say, well, how'd it go yesterday? How's it going? What'd you think about yesterday? What'd you look at yesterday? How many people did you cut off? What about your attitude? Did you tell your wife you loved her? All the time while I'm reading my Bible, the Lord's reminding me of those things. You see, there needs to be a time of daily inspection, our own life. Not before my wife or before my church members or before anybody else, before God. God inspects my life. He's inspecting. You see, that's that daily accountability with God. And I noticed that I really believe that Noah had that same accountability with God because he stood before God one day in all eternity. But then there was that daily walk that he had with God, and where God would tell him, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down and feed the animals. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. You say, where did he get that from? Well, go all the way back. Look at verse number 7 again. I'm sorry, verse number 9. Genesis 6, verse 9. Can I get you to look at it with me? That's what it says. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah's a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what does the next word say? Just the next word. Walked with God. Amos says these words, can two walk together except they be agreed? This means that there was a communication. God was speaking and Noah was responding. And that when Noah spoke, that God responded. In other words, two were in agreement. Found out if I walk hand in hand with God, then I'm going to do what God wants me to do. When I get out of God's pathway and go my own way, that's when I get in trouble. The Bible said, no, walk with God. And I'm going to tell you something. You talking about walking with God, I guarantee he walked with God when he's in that boat. I know it wasn't a boat, it was an ark. Same thing, just bigger. Think about it. I think the whole time that he was on that ark, he was begging God, pleading with God for God to deliver, to God to, by God's grace, to save his family, to get his family through these storms. I believe, no doubt about it, that Noah was begging God to do something great and mighty. And I think as he heard the bodies beating against the bottom of the boat and people banging on the windows and the doors to come in, I think it ripped his heart out. I'm not sure when he got off, he realized it was just him and his family. That was it. There was nothing else living. But let me ask you a question. What's the very first thing Noah did when he got off the ark? man, he built an altar and sacrificed and worshiped God. You know why? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to worship God. Amen. We're not here to kind of advance ourselves or make ourselves look more, more acceptable to the world or somehow or another that we might be advanced in the human race. But we're here to advance the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No doubt. And Noah, when he walked with God, the Bible said that's what it's all about. Look, folks, today, we need some faithful families that walk with God. I'm going to tell you this. Noah did not get on that ark until first he walked with God. God asked him to do something that was unbelievable, to say the least. And that's why he got on the ark. Faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness in your life. Develop it in your life. Faithfulness is rare even among Christians. The scripture says it like this: most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Can I read that? Let me read it one more time. Listen to this. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? What's it? It's the kind of, it. That means this. That means, you can find a lot of people tell you, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not bad. But the question is, most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Faithful. You say, what do you mean by faithful? Puts God first. Puts God first. He has godly convictions. He has some priorities in his life, that God is first place, and that and by the way, I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd, and I believe that you do have your priorities right. It takes a lot to come out on a Wednesday night. I know some people are working, they can't, and it's not because they're not here, they don't have God as a priority. Don't get me wrong, but it takes something to come on a Wednesday night. We're tired, middle of the week. I understand that. Aren't you glad we're not the early church? We'd be here every night. But understand what I'm saying. God is very clear that God's looking for some faithful people. We determine tonight, preacher, by God's mercy and by God's grace. I'm going to tell you something. Faithfulness takes discipline and the grace and power of God. It does. Because it's really easy for us to sit in a service and hear this and say, yeah, man, I want to be like Noah. If God were to call me, I'd be just like Noah. I'd have spent 100 years building a boat that I didn't know anything about. I had no plans about it. I just built that boat and got on it just like God said. It'd be easy to say that, but what about when you start tomorrow? And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And everybody comes out and makes fun of you. What about if you start tomorrow with your devotions that you haven't had for a while? What about you start next week to go soul winning? You know what's going to happen? You come out soul winning. You know what's going to, you're going to have a million reasons not to. A million reasons. I'm scared. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a person who goes soul winning is not scared. So if you're waiting for the fear to go away, it will never leave you. You say, well, I'm waiting on a convenient time. There's no such convenient time. That's like saying, I'm waiting on a convenient time to die. We're going to die when it's inconvenient or not. What I'm saying this is tonight, we just need to decide, God, by your mercy and by your grace, I just want to be faithful to you. Noah was a just man, and he walked with Heavenly Father.